Good morning. It is very good to see you all out, and you are an encouragement to me, and we're glad that you're here. And I hope we all can encourage one another to serve God every day, that we will look to Him for our guidance and our strength, that we will find a way to make Him happy, and the way to make Him happy is by living our life here on this earth His way. 7 years ago, we embarked on a journey that included a stint here at Ephesus. Now, when we came here, I had sat down and talked with the elders and Brother Robert, and I'll be honest with you, we agreed to a term of I came in wanting to do 3 months, because I said, I don't know if I really want to do this or not. And Brother Donnie Rogers said, well, you're going to have to do, why don't we try 6 months? I said, that's 24 weeks. Like, do you realize what you asked? I don't have 24 sermons. And I thought, well, okay, well, I'll do this for 6 months. And deep down within inside of me, I wholly believed that I was going to do this for 6 months and I was going to leave. That was going to be it. I said, I'm going to do 6 months. I'm going to find out this ain't what I need to do. And I'll go on my merry little way. I'll live happily ever after. I didn't know happily ever after was going to be here 7 years later. And it has been good for me, and I pray and hope it will continue to be good for you as well. But it has taught me one thing over those 6 months. It really kind of changed who I was. It really kind of taught me about who I needed to be. I found out that one of the things that I needed for me to live my life was to be here on every service. To be here and to be about God's business. And to do that and to be in this role helped me long for God. And I had this kind of idea in my mind of saying, well, you know, I know what I need to do. I had all these things. I know I need to live and how I need to do things. But I really didn't have a longing for God. And coming here helped me to continually help me to find this longing for God, this desire that I need Him. Over in Psalms 42, this psalm is something that is familiar to most of all of you. As a deer pants for the flowing stream, so my soul for you, O God. Now we sing, there's a hymn that says, as a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after you. And my soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Now, as we read this and as we look and we think about this first breath, as my soul longs after you, as I do this as a deer that pants for the flowing stream. I ain't never seen a deer out of breath. I've seen some deer, and I have been known to put them out of breath. But to actually see one out of breath from running, man ain't never really seen. I've seen a dog out of breath. And I've seen a dog that I have put out of breath, and he has run and run and run and run. And I myself, too, have been out of breath. And for some people, that varies in what it is that puts you out of breath. Some of y'all are crazy, and it'll take 20 miles for you to breathe like that. Some of us are more reasonable and a whole lot less to put us out of breath. But when we get put out of breath, we want two things. First of all, we want to be able to breathe without gasping, and we want something to drink. I want some water, something kind of bad now. I won't have to wait on it. And when we think about being out of breath and longing for that drink, oh, if I could just get a drink, if I could just catch my breath, if I could just, this is what I want so bad. There is not a price that I wouldn't pay for a bottle of water right now. I need something right now. This is what the psalmist is saying, that our soul should long after God the same way. But far too often we see God as a watering fountain that we just kind of come by there and we'll get a drink out of it every now and then when it's convenient to us. Well, I just need a little bit. Well, I'll just take a sip. And I know sometimes we open up our Bible and we start to read and it's just so much information in there that it's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant. It's just so much coming down our face. But it should be, that's the way that we should approach it. I don't want a little bit, give me all of it or give me none of it. I need the whole thing. But for many of us, we don't have this kind of longing desire for God. We have people ask us, where is your God? Well, we're just like, well, I don't know, he'll come back sometime, maybe he's on lunch break. I don't know. We remember all of the things about how I need God and how I desire for God, how I long for God. I remember these things. I pour out my soul to Him. How I would go to the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Some of us are looking if we can get anybody, even our spouse, to ride in the car with us on the way up here. We're not leading a parade up here to this building to worship God. How often do we really desire, do we really long for God? Or we just kind of along for the ride with God? Do we strive to search after Him and to seek Him every day? Do we strive every day when we wake up, our goal and what we desire to do, we want to be pleasing to God? I understand completely. I'm going to make this a very simple fact. There's other things that we do during the day that are also found in the Bible. We go to work, take care of our families. Man not work, neither will he meet. If he doesn't take care of his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. We go to the doctor. We get ourselves taken care of. We do things to help our life and be better here on this earth. Maybe we do things maybe to prolong our death and to give us more time on this earth. But do we really strive for God every day? Is that out when we wake up in the morning, do we think to ourselves and do we pray to God? Do we say, how can I serve God today? Or do we wake up in the morning and we've got a big old long list of things to do on there during that day, and at the bottom of it, we've got a little note that says, and read the Bible, and that's the last thing we've got on there. And so if I can complete everything else on my list, I'll read the Bible. Or is it about this right here? I'm going to talk to somebody about Jesus, and I'm going to talk to them about the gospel. Is our heart fully into what He desires, into serving Him, longing for Him? I have got to have Him to live my life, or is it I can live my life with Him or without Him, and I'll get a sip of the water fountain every now and then when I go by it? Or is our heart fully involved and fully devoted into doing what He wants? Or we're just kind of there. You know, I know that's in my heart, I love Jesus. Well, that's great. I can get a 2-year-old to sing that song. But a lot of us have been in this building for 40 years and we ain't never really had a heart that longed for Jesus. And we know Jesus loves me. That's great. Do you really love Jesus? Is that really what your heart's after? Do we really try to serve Him? Or do we wait for Him? Well, you know, I'm waiting on God. He's going to come along. He's going to do something great. He's going to do something marvelous. He's going to do something fantastic. All of those things which He can and does. But we're just going to sit here on the sidelines until he tells me to go in the game. I remember I was in high school. We were getting the ball run up the middle bad. They were just running it right down our throat. And I didn't play defense. They were saving me for offense. So they didn't pass the ball either, and I was a receiver. So I still ain't figured out why it worked that way. But we getting the ball run down our throat. I mean, they were right up the middle. And we had this coach. He turned around. He kind of threw his headset. He was a big old dude anyhow. Can we get anybody to stop it going up the middle? Anybody? I took off running. I was just like, hey, you out. I'm going to be nose guard. That was the dumbest thing I ever did in my life. Hey, boy, I told him, I said, you go over at the sideline. Hey, I said, you out. I'm coming in. I told Landon, I said, you tell me what I'm supposed to do because I don't know none of these calls on deep. I don't know. I said, I'm just trying to, I'm going to tackle the guy with the ball. He said, well, just start with that. And then don't worry about going left and right. You just start tackling the guy with the ball. So I got laid out by the guard in the center. They made a sandwich out of me. But they ended up stopping the guy. You know, I took both of them out of the game. That's the way I thought I was supposed to take both of them out of the play. And then let somebody else come in and they could tackle. Well, it worked. It worked just like I had it in my mind. And then that boy that I told to come out, he come and told me coach wasn't happy and then I needed to come out. I said, well, all right. So I come out. He said, what in the world are you doing? He said, well, you asked if anybody could stop the ball. He said, you didn't stop it either. Leave who needs to be in there. They know their job. But a lot of us, we sit on the sidelines a lot. We just wait. I'm waiting on God. Just tell me when I need to go in the game. You tell me when it's time for me to go in there. When is it time for me to do your work? When is it time for me to be about your business? You tell me, God, you send me a sign, you show me a way, and then I'll go in the game. But until then, I'm just going to be over here and I'll be on the sidelines. I'm still on Team Jesus, but I'm going to be over here on the far end of the bench. And whenever you get ready for me, you'll show me something for me to do, and I'll jump in there and do it. Psalm 84 verses 1 and 2 says this, how lovely is our dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. I am doing everything to get to the courts of the Lord. I want to serve Him. I am trying to serve Him. This is my goal. This is the thing that sustains me and gives me life. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. I know He's the living God, and that is why I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And this is the kind of longing that we should have for God and to serve God. But so many people are sitting around and they're wanting to watch the game get played, and they want to say, you know what, I want to be part of it, but I don't know when. Luke chapter 11 verse 29, it says this, when the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. He says, you want a sign. You're looking for a sign. You're trying to find a sign. What sign do you want to see? You got the Son of God standing right here talking to you and preaching to you and showing you that He is the Son of God and you are wanting me to do a sign. You don't make no sense. He continues on and says, the Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the lands of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Something greater than Solomon is standing in front of you. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. They wanted a sign, they desired a sign, and they had the Son of God standing in front of them. They were looking for something like Solomon. They were looking for something that like Elijah would do in the desert. They were looking for something like that, and here is Jesus standing in front of them. They're like, well, you know what, you're great, you're awesome, but you know what we'd really like? We'd like a sign. And if you need a sign greater than the Son of God raising up out of the dead, then you're gonna miss the sign too. He's already given you the greatest sign that could ever be given. That is, God came to earth in flesh. He lived. He died on that cross. It brought to him great grief. He was buried in the grave and he was risen from the dead. That's your sign. And here he is. He's saying, you want something like Solomon. This is standing before you. This is greater than Solomon. Something greater than Jonah. The preaching of Jonah could not hold a candle to the way that Christ was preaching to them. Give me just one more sign. That's all I need. God, just give me one more sign. You think about, well, y'all are going to think about this, and they're going to go home, you're going to pray about it, you're going to say, you know what, I want in the game, I'm going to long for God, that's what I'm going to do. And you're going to go home, you're going to pray, and you're going to say, you know, Lord, give me a sign, I'll spread the gospel. I don't know what sign's going to be, God, and that just, if I could just get a sign, spread the gospel. And then you're going to go to Cracker Barrel and you're going to sit down in them rocking chairs out front. Somebody's going to sit down next to you and they're going to say, you know what? I ain't never been to church before. Where you go to church at? And you're going to say, I go to Ephesus Church of Christ. And then they're going to say, Lanham Party of Five, come to the table. Lanham Party of Five, your table is now available. And you're going to get up from your rocking chair and you're going to go sit down and eat your green beans. And then you're going to sit down and eat your green beans, and while you're buttering your biscuit, you're going to go, you know what, God, was that sign you was trying to send to me when that person came down and asked me about God? Was that the sign? Or could you send me another sign if that was the sign that I needed to do? We don't look for it. We need to be looking just for an opportunity to talk about the gospel. You got the Son of Man, Son of God standing before you, not you physically here, this in this passage. And he's been giving them all these signs, they won't listen. And in the back of his mind, he's like, I'm about to give you a sign, and if that ain't enough, then you can't be one. Because when I come up out of the grave, there's going to be no doubt in your mind who I was. You know, for many, that is the sign that they want. They want this, well, if somebody from the dead could just tell me about what death is like and what it's really like and what it's like to be in the grave, I'd have a lot of my questions answered and then I could be a Christian. I know more about what death's like. Boy, it'd help me out. I doubt it. I doubt that'd really help you. Why do I doubt that really help you? Because the Bible tells me that probably really won't help you. You remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, how the rich man, he said, if you could just get somebody, you know, if you could just get send Lazarus over here, dip his finger in that water and then touch my tongue, I'd be all the more better. And he said, well, okay, no, that ain't going to happen. There's a big gulf between us. It doesn't work out that way. And then he asked this, he said, then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. Why you want me to send him? Send him to your father's house. He said, well, I got five brothers. So that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced that someone should rise from the dead. They wanted a sign. He said, if they don't listen to the word of God, then somebody coming back from the dead is not going to do any good to them. But let me tell you something about the advantage we have over the rich man's brothers. We've got this huge advantage. We've got an advantage over them and over every generation that ever came before. Number one, we have Moses and the prophets. We have the word of God. And number two, we have a dead man. We had one who came back from the dead. John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. He ain't seen Jesus when he come back. He was away from the other disciples when all this happened. Well, he wasn't there earlier, so the other disciples told him about this. They said, we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and I can put my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. I don't believe you. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard about. This didn't happen. Y'all are hallucinating, you're seeing things. Until I get the sign myself, I'm not going to believe. And it was almost, it's almost like Jesus knew what was going on, isn't it? And he said, and this happens. 8 days later, his disciples were inside and Thomas was with them. So they're all together again. One more time. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And say nothing about him having a Slim Jim in his pocket and he jimmied the lock open or he used the credit card trick. Didn't even say he opened the door. Said the doors were shut and they were locked and Jesus just, there he was, peace be with you. And he said to Thomas, notice that Thomas still doesn't believe, it didn't really register with Thomas what was going on. Because if all of a sudden we're sitting here talking and then Jesus just walks in, I don't need to put my fingers there anymore. And he says to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, you have believed because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas wanted another sign. He needed somebody from the dead. He got both of them, and we have both of them too. And we have the Word of God for us, set aside for us so that we can learn and study and know about His love for us and about how He sent His Son to die on the cross so we can be forgiven of our sins. And that hasn't motivated us to long for God yet, and I don't understand why. And for some people, it's this idea of saying, No, I know what I'll do. I just gotten lazy. Well, you better get unlazy real quick. And the only way to do it is to start getting busy. And this is as much for me as it is for any of you. Because I have become complacent in so many things that I have done and the ways that I have approached things. And sometimes I just need to be reminded that, there's a new me because of Jesus Christ. And I ought to live every day like the new me. And I ought to start every chance that I get to talk about the gospel. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. I know you've heard the word of the gospel and you know about Jesus coming to save those which were lost. You were lost. Your sin has lost you and separated you away from God. But His blood is what reunites you back. It will wash you and cleanse you and make you white as snow. And so this morning we would love for you to leave here being washed in that blood. And become new and have your sins forgiven and be washed in that watery grave of baptism to be sin no more in you. And we can live every day longing for God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation anyway, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.